You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I'm National Recruiting Analyst Cooper Vitagna alongside my colleague Andrew Ivins, our Director of Scouting. Andrew, the word on the street is that you are currently locked out of your Twitter account. I don't know how this happened, but we got the execs at CBS on this. Maybe we need to get Colorado's tight end coach Tim Brewster on it as well. I don't know if you saw that video. What are the, I would guess, say, more entertaining videos I've seen in recent history, getting the Buffs fired up. But anyway, how do we get you back into your account, man?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I got locked out over the weekend when you need two-step authentication. I'm butchering that word. But they don't send text messages anymore. And I guess this is a big problem ever since Twitter underwent some new ownership. So I might be a TikTok guy moving forward or Instagram. I don't really know. Trying to figure it out. But like you said, I got the CBS brass. And Cooper, no, I did not see the Tim Brewster video because I can't log on to Twitter. So it's really hard to kind of keep up with the news. I just keep clicking refresh on that 24/7 Sports homepage every day.
I'll send it to your Hotmail account, whatever we got to do to get you up to speed on Colorado. Anyway, Drew, the Wednesday episode, for those of you who don't know, this is only our second episode. So we'll break down the format a little bit. Andrew and I will be on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of every week, 365 days throughout the year. The Wednesday show, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter format, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. And Andrew, I think the idea is to come in and really kind of format it differently, just kind of based on the week. And this time of year, middle of January, what is there to really talk about? The early signing day has now become the signing day, the second signing period, really just kind of an afterthought. So I thought today would be a good idea for us to do an exercise where we talked about some of the best fits in the 2023 cycle. But for us, the challenge is not to talk about players that are ranked inside the top 150. I thought that would kind of stretch us a little bit. And for Drew, you know, going through the top 247, there are some guys that we don't really get to talk about a lot that you like, especially in the state of Florida. And one of those guys is Jordan Hall, who's going to be playing his football for Mel Tucker at East Lansing in Michigan State.
I do, Cooper, and I love this exercise. This is a great idea, and this is great for our two-minute drill. That's what I think we should call kind of like the Wednesday episodes are on the shorter side. So I think what I pick three, you pick three, and you already tossed out the first one for me. That's Jordan Hall. And what's crazy is there's three different Jordan Halls in the class of 2023, and they all signed with Power Five schools. You have Jordan Hall, the defensive lineman that went to Georgia, Jordan Hall, an offensive lineman that went to Colorado. But I'm talking about Jordan Hall, the linebacker that's headed to Michigan State. I believe he's already on campus as an early enrollee. I would have liked this a little bit more if Michigan State, their top four linebackers are all coming back. I think they're going to have the most experienced linebacker core in the country, or one of the most experienced, but I still love the fit. And this allows Jordan Hall to come in, take a redshirt year, or work on the special teams and whatnot. But this guy, I think he fits what they want to do. Scotty Hazleton on that defense, he loves to use his linebackers. He runs a 4-2-5, but he'll bring some of them up and put them in obvious pass rushing situations. He'll put them on the edge. And Jordan Hall, to me, he had a ton of success at IMG Academy coming downhill. I think he's a fit for the Big Ten. And what's really interesting, Cooper, is I was going through Mel Tucker's signing day press conference, and he said this on Jordan Hall: a true leader on the field, a get your guys lined up, who directs traffic and takes charge, which is funny because it sounds exactly like my scouting report on 24/7 Sports. I wrote intelligent second level defender that became the voice of IMG Academy's defense after transferring into the FBS factory. So always cool when your scouting report lines up with the head coach, and that's the case with Jordan Hall.
You've always been bullish on him. I mean, even going back to his time at IMG Academy, I think I don't want to say the hesitation, but for us, when it came to Jordan Hall, this was more of a guy that is more of a traditional throwback type of linebacker. I think guy that's going to bang between the tackles. He's not going to be as much sideline to sideline, but I think it's pretty fair to say that's a part of his game that I think we have overlooked a little bit. I think he's a little bit more athletic, a little bit more nimble, more comfortable in space than we give him credit for. So I love his fit at Michigan State under Mel Tucker, defensive-minded coach. I think he's going to thrive there in the Big Ten. Let's stay in the Big Ten. Drew, for me, the first guy coming off the board ranked in the top 200, the number 178th prospect in the top 247. That is Caden McDonald out of the state of Georgia and North Gwinnett, defensive lineman for Ohio State. And this was a guy that had a pretty, I would say, at the end of his recruitment, this was a guy that a lot of the blue chip programs from around the country were in on. 6'3", 310 pounds. He is a two-way standout. And this is a guy that I really like a lot, has kind of grown on me throughout the evaluation process, but a quick first step, really heavy hands. And what I like about him is his ability to rush the passer from the inside. When we think about Ohio State, when we think about Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach there, we usually think about these edge presence type of players that he's brought in, like guys like the Bosa brothers, or whether it's like JT Tuimoloau. And now you got a guy like Caden McDonald that really helps beef up Ohio State's defensive line on the interior. I mean, 13 sacks as a senior in 12 games, 40 tackles for loss. He had 19 sacks in 12 games as a junior. So this is a guy really athletic, can push the pocket. I think it's going to be a really big addition for Ohio State. And I think if there's a place where they can get better amongst their front seven, it's the interior part of their defensive line. This is a unit that ranked 25th against the run in 2022. They were 35th in tackles for loss. I think a guy like Caden McDonald, especially when you're getting that type of player out of the state of Georgia, they had to beat Clemson and Nick Eason, who we talked about on yesterday's show, who had a really good year recruiting one of the best defensive line classes in 2022. So tip of the cap to Larry Johnson, Ryan Day, for being able to get a guy like Caden McDonald out of the state of Georgia. Drew, I know he's technically in your region. Any thoughts on him?
I was going to say, you left off the fact that he played running back this season at over 300 pounds. You put on the huddle, find the highlights on the YouTube, and you got this big monster coming up the A and B gap. No, Caden McDonald, saw him work out this past spring. I was in making the rounds in Atlanta. He holds all the weight room records there. And you brought up Larry Johnson, and everyone thinks edge players with him. And our signing day show, Ohio State missed out on a few guys down the stretch, Young Concrete, Damon Wilson. So we kind of, I don't want to say graded them as a loser, but we weren't really hyping up that defensive line class. You like Caden McDonald. I also like the other guy they got, Jason Moore. Saw him for the first time in person at the Under Armour All-America game. I think he's a little bit more athletic, different type of interior defensive lineman for the Buckeyes. But that those two should be able to provide a pass rushing presence and some push there in the middle. So, no, I love that fit, Caden McDonald headed to Ohio State.
77 carries for 409 yards, 11 touchdowns as a senior. Big man, might see him on some goal line packages in Columbus. All right, Drew, let's shift to the Pac-12, and it's prime time always for the Oyster Boys on this show. Let's talk about Dylan Edwards a little bit, a guy that can pack a punch, listed at 5'8", 160. We might be giving him a little bit of a boost there, but this guy is literally lightning in a bottle. And I think he's going to be able to make an impact early for Prime Time in Boulder.
Well, he's part of that Louis luggage that Coach Prime brought to Boulder in Colorado that he's talking about. Commit number one for Dion from the high school ranks, Dylan Edwards, a kid that was previously committed to Notre Dame. I loved when Dylan Edwards was headed to Notre Dame. I kind of saw a little Chris Tyree in his game. Coop, you mentioned he's 5'8". He is tiny. He is pint size, but he was the fastest man at this past summer's Future 50 camp, which was loaded with kids. And then he was the fastest man at the Under Armour All-America game. He edged Nicholas Harbor. I think they had to do a runoff like four different times. I'm like, this is crazy because Harbor's the biggest guy out there and Dylan Edwards was the smallest. Look, I love this fit because Colorado's new offensive coordinator, Sean Lewis, he's coming over from Kent State. Kent State, when he was there, they loved the pre-snap motion. They schemed things up, RPOs, shovel passes, inverted veer, jet sweeps. And to me, Dylan Edwards can be kind of a toy for that offense. You can use him in a variety of different ways. And I know he's small. You know, is he going to be able to run in between the tackles? Look, at Kent State, when Sean Lewis was there this past season, Marquez Cooper, his running back, went for 1,300 yards. And he's listed at 5'7", so he's even smaller than Dylan Edwards. So Buffs 106 in rushing last season nationally versus FBS teams. I think Dylan Edwards is going to come in. I don't know if he's going to get 12 carries a game, but I think they're going to scheme some touches up for him. And I think just with what we've seen from a distance about Colorado and Coach Prime's operation, he's going to play the guys that he brought in. So Dylan Edwards, like that fit. I think he's going to be making some plays, chunk plays in the Pac-12 next season and beyond.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Another part of his game that I feel like he doesn't get enough credit for is his ability as a return man. I think he is one of the best return men in the country. I think the only other guy in the top 247 that you would say, hey, has the upper hand on a guy like Dylan Edwards is probably Zachariah Branch, who packs a punch himself and is a top 10 player for us. So, I mean, you look at Dylan Edwards and you say, hey, if you're small, you got to be special. So what does special mean? Well, ripping off a 4.39 40, 4.26 shuttle. It's got a 10.5 broad. I mean, we talk about verified speed. We talk about verified athleticism all the time. You talked about the utility and the position flexibility and how that's going to be really important in Sean Lewis's offense. I mean, a guy like Dylan Edwards is a plug and play type of asset for Colorado, 2021 Kansas Gatorade Player of the Year. I love this guy, and I think you're going to see him really impact the game from day one in the return game. That's what Dylan Edwards can do. Drew, love that pick from you. For us, Drew, we're going to go back to the state of Florida, excuse me, not back to the state of Florida, but Pierce Sperling, a tight end.
He is playing in Florida, but just so we're clear, I'm in Fort Lauderdale. He's in Santa Rosa Beach. That's about like an 8-hour drive, I think. So
technically your backyard is what we're saying. Everything in Florida is considered Drew's backyard. So Pierce Sperling, all right, this is a guy that you and I, that I think he was, I don't want to say difficult, but he was a little bit, he had a muddied evaluation, right? We liked him as a sophomore. We really liked him as a junior. There were some questions about his frame. I think the last verified size we got from him, I think he was at like 209. He was under 215 pounds. So we had some questions about the growth potential. He misses most of his senior year, only plays in two games, had a labrum injury, shows up at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio healthy. He's 6'6", 240 pounds, and he looks like this prototypical traditional wide tight end that we've gotten pretty used to seeing Todd Hartley, the tight ends coach at Georgia, producing. And he had a really good week. He's a smooth mover for his size. He's a three-sport athlete. He's got the basketball background. He's averaging 10 points per game and 7 rebounds as a senior right now. And this is a guy that had 74 receptions, over 1,400 yards, and 20 touchdowns as a junior. So the production is there. And this is a guy you're saying, okay, Georgia, they just continue to stockpile talent in this tight end room. Drew, let me take you through what Georgia's projected tight end room looks like next year. Brock Bowers, who somehow is still playing football, coming back for another year. Oscar Delp, who was a top 247 player in the 2022 cycle. Lawson Lucky, who we love, who is a top 70 prospect in the top 247. And then you have Pierce Sperling right now, who's ranked number 188. He's probably going to shoot up the board for us from what we've seen in San Antonio, not to mention the dogs hanging around there and probably the favorite for five-star tight end Deuce Robinson. I mean, you couldn't even put together a better tight end room in the NCAA football. That's kind of how I feel about Georgia. But in terms of the fit, I love Pierce Sperling because he can kind of go there, develop, and take his time, and they can kind of grow him patiently. I love the fit in Pierce Sperling in Athens.
All right, a few things here. Oscar Delp, write that name down, all college football fans. He's going to have a breakout year next season at Georgia. He's next one up. Number two, I got to push back a little bit here on Pierce Sperling. You said he was productive. He did miss some time, and I know you pointed that out. I mean, we only saw two games of him, and we've only seen him at one camp prior to that All-American Bowl, and that was back in 2021. I think it was kind of like right out of that pandemic COVID phase. Everyone was wearing masks. I remember that. It was down in Miami, and he made some acrobatic catches, and I'll never forget, though, he looked like a beanpole. And I just went and looked it up. He was 203 pounds, right? So when I showed up to San Antonio, and you and Gabe Brooks, our colleague, were texted me about how Pierce looked, I was like, all right, I got to see this, because he was kind of the Yeti. We hadn't seen him. And then what did you weigh him in at? I know he was upset about your measurement on how tall
It wasn't his weight. It was his height. He thought he was 6'7". You know, like everybody came in and they were 2 inches taller than what they thought they were. Drew, you thought you were – how tall were you coming into that?
I was 6 foot.
Yeah, you're 6 foot. I think you 5'10 on that day. Everybody was a little bit smaller than what they thought. But he was – I think he came in, he thought he was 6'7".
And how much he did measured he weigh, in, though?
Yeah, 6'6", 240 pounds on the dot. So yeah, he's and listen, he still has room to grow. I think he can put on another 15 to 20 pounds to his
frame. And the last thing I'm going to add on this, I mean, I'm sure there's some listeners out there. They're going to be like, all right, this kid signed with Georgia. You guys are going to shoot him up in the rankings. But we moved him down because we had a ton of questions about him. And then we got the verified information we wanted. And he did look the part, and I agree with you. He's going to do big things at Georgia, assuming he can keep things on track.
All right, Drew, your last selection here, you went back and forth with a couple of DBs from the Sunshine State. We figured it was probably going to end in the Sunshine State, but you were between two guys. I got to give the other guy a shout out. In Jonas Taclona, who is signed with Wisconsin, really good fit. Out of Naples High School, he's going to be playing in Madison for Luke Fickell. Really like him a lot. Got to see him in San Antonio at the All-American Bowl. But the guy that you wanted to talk about this morning, a really big late addition for Florida State in Mike Norvell, that is Conrad Hussey, who was committed to Penn State throughout the majority of the process. But Drew, the more you and I started studying Conrad Hussey, the more you and I really loved this guy.
He's not a stat sheet stuffer at STA, and he played alongside King Mack, Return of the Mack, who's headed to Penn State. And I've called King Mack, his teammate, kind of a five-tool center fielder of a safety, and I think Conrad Hussey is essentially the same thing. And both those guys were utilized in different roles at STA, which is a storied program that had a ton of guys go and play as true freshmen this past fall in 2020, 2022 around the country. So I think Florida State's getting a really, really good football player in Conrad. He can cover the slot. He can blitz. He can just chew up turf. I think if you needed him to play little center field, he could. He can run the alley. I think with what Adam Fuller does in that 4-2-5 defense, I think Hussey is the perfect fit. And Florida State going to have a new defensive back coach. Pat Surtain comes in from the Miami Dolphins. He's a former high school coach in the area. I believe there's some familiarity between Hussey and Surtain. And then, you know, one thing I was looking, some people have some questions and concerns about Hussey's size, but he's 6 foot one and a half, 200 pounds, and he's running 10.9 in that 100-meter dash. So he's a big dude, and I think he is going to be in that garnet and gold, and whatever they need him to do, depending on personnel, he could be a chess piece of sorts for them.
Yeah, both those guys coming out of St. Thomas Aquinas, and really you start to see a theme with these players that come out of that that high school. Like, these guys are just football players, a competitive temperament that they play with, a lot of versatility, really instinctive. You see that with Conrad Hussey and King Mack as well, Drew, who you mentioned earlier. All right, Drew, for me, I'm going to round it out in the SEC. I'm going to go to the boot, the state of Louisiana. I'm going to go with Caleb Jackson, a guy that missed the majority of his senior season with an ankle injury, to running back out of Baton Rouge, signed with LSU, 5'10", over 200 pounds. This is a guy that ran at least six sub 1,100 meter times in the spring of 2022. And when you look at LSU's running back room, this is a room that it used to be where LSU kind of hung their hat. Frank Wilson coming back from McNeese State. This is second year back in Baton Rouge under Brian Kelly. And LSU's gotten some good news over the last couple of days. Josh Williams coming back, John Emery coming back, Noah Kane will be back. But Caleb Jackson is just kind of different. The speed and athleticism combination of what he can offer. He gets downhill in a hurry, a really north-south runner. And this is a guy, when he was on the field as a junior, super productive, gained more than 2,400 yards from scrimmage, 33 touchdowns as a junior. He averaged 14.7 yards per carry. So I love the fit of Caleb Jackson. I think LSU needs a boost there. I don't know if they had that top-end guy. I think he can be that. And then Trey Holly coming in from the state of Louisiana as well. He's going to be a really nice compliment. So I love Caleb Jackson. I love that fit. That was a guy, Drew, you and I really didn't get to talk about a ton because he was banged up. And I feel like, you know, this list, like the idea of picking guys outside of the top 150, you and I spent so much time on signing day, even though we're on set for what, 8-9 hours, you don't really get to talk about everything you want to talk about. So being able to talk about some of these guys, some of the wins in the latter part of the process, that really helps for us. And Drew, before we sign off, you know, you sent a text late last night. Pro Football Focus came out with their top 100 board for the NFL draft, and the draft right around the corner in April. But just some thoughts, I would say the early impressions of, you know, it's just a good starting point for us. And I think as we are putting the finishing touches on our rankings ourselves here next week, is there anything that you look at that says it makes you kind of think a little bit more in depth about what we're doing? Because there's a couple of things that stand out to me just from looking at that top 32.
Oh, it's the text I sent with you guys. Will McDonald, defensive lineman out of Iowa State. I knew nothing about him. I mean, he's a kid from Minnesota. I think what, day two grade on him from PFF. And I start looking up at his profile as I'm laying there in bed. As a senior, he was the state champ in discus. He was third in high jump, 11-4-1 for a guy that's over 200 pounds. And then he was Conference Hoops Player of the Year. So when we always talk multi-sport and the track data, here's another prime example. And I know, Coop, what you're going to bring up here about the running backs is certainly notable as well.
I can just imagine you. It's like that meme, you know, like the husband and the wife laying in bed and the husband's looking at his phone and the wife is turned in the different direction. And it's like, I wonder what he's thinking about. And it's just you reading a bio of Will McDonald, you know, hey, three sport athlete. I wonder what he threw in the discus. But, you know, for me, I look at it and it just comes back to premium position. I think one of the best players in the country, I think this has proven over the last couple of years, is Bijan Robinson, right? And PFF, I mean, it's not like, hey, we're taking their word from it. He could get selected earlier, but I think they're pretty
a lot of right on here. Yeah, a lot of mocks have him kind of fallen.
And he's in that, you know, he's in that 18 to 22 range. And you think about that, all right, this is one of the most accomplished players, a really safe bet. And you think about the positional value. And Drew, right now we're having a conversation. Hey, do we feel comfortable with two running backs in the top 32? Do we feel comfortable with three running backs in the top 32? I could tell you this, if it was up to me, I think we'd only have one guy in the top 32 at the running back position. The other thing that stands out is premium positions, right? And like, who is that cornerback two in this class? Obviously, we have Cormani McClain pegged as the number one corner, and then there's AJ Harris, who we really love the profile. But there's going to be another guy, in my opinion, that we're going to look back 3 to 4 years from now that's going to elevate their status over that time. And you look at like Eli Ricks, he's a top 50 player. He's barely played, right? He's had character issues. He transfers to Alabama. He really doesn't get activated until late in the season. And this is a guy that people have coming off the board in the first 12 picks of the second round. So the other one, Drew, the last thing I have to say here, you look at the quarterback order of how they have these guys ordered at the top in the top 10, Bryce Young at the top, Will Levis, quarterback out of Kentucky at number 3, CJ Stroud at number 5.
And then
Anthony Richardson at 11, right? So it just comes back to like projection versus production, which we talk about all the time. To me, I love having Bryce Young in that number one spot. I would have Stroud at number 2. I would like Will Levis would keep me up at night. Anthony Richardson at 11, you know, like, and then you wonder, they're like, why isn't this guy coming back for another year? That's why, you know, somebody's going to take him in the top 15.
Who's also in the top 32?
Tanner McKee.
6'6", big frames play.
6'6", and guess what? Then you got Hendon Hooker, you know, in that I want to say, I don't even think they have him in the second round, right? So they have him in that third round range. You wonder is like, okay, is that the ACL that maybe impacts that a little bit? But even with the year that he had playing in Josh Heupel's offense. So a lot of good stuff, you know, as you'll start to get to know Andrew and I, you'll start to kind of pick up on that. We'd like to tie everything back into the NFL draft, which is really the genesis of our process. But guys, we appreciate you joining us. It was supposed to be 10 minutes. It went 25 minutes. That's okay. We had a little fun. We had a little banter as well. Please make sure if you are new to the show, make sure you subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. And for our director of scouting, Andrew Ivins, our producer, Lance Flynn, I'm Cooper Patagna, and we will see you again tomorrow. Thanks for joining us.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.